Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham said, "We are the Bibles the world is reading. We are the creeds the world is needing. We are the sermons the world is heeding." Amen, somebody. Join me in reciting the new Nicene Creed. It is new because I have added, I think, some important points that have been left out by the wise men who formed it hundreds of years ago. We believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, bled, and died and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. Danae, you gotta turn this way some. Just slant your chair. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, as we go to the family verses. And we continue with, as we have dealt a long time with the wives, a long time with the husbands, we're dealing a long time with the children. Everybody has their responsibilities in the family. And if any party does not do their job, we have a problem. Not only Houston we have a problem, but everywhere we live, wherever there are families, we have a problem. The biggest problems in the world today are in the family. Therefore, we have huge problems in the church. Therefore, we have huge problems in society, which one now famous black police officer told the truth about. that society is putting too much on police officers. They are supposed to be the father and the mother. Now, the children, that's not their job. Their job is to arrest your children that you did not raise right, and who are hellions and now are jellions, because they keep going into stores, wreaking havoc, and stealing marshmallows and other things. And when the store owner catches them, they call the police. This is how it works. And your child is down at the jailhouse where he belongs. And if I were you, I wouldn't bail him out. That's if you did your job. If you did not do your job, then you need to get down there very quickly and bail him out before somebody turns him out and makes him some little effeminate homosexual punk. Don't you get mad with me. I'm telling you the truth. Now, those of you who did not do your job in raising your children, you're not going to go get them out either, because you don't know what to do with them. And they're going to keep on doing criminal acts under your leadership, so you don't have to take care of them anymore. And they will stop stealing your television sets and your iPhones and selling them on the black market to get drugs. So read and take heed to the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Stephen J. Cole writes in his fine commentary on this passage, children must be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in order to obey and honor their parents. Very simple, but at the same time, very insightful. Amen, somebody. Children need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. None of us, all of us, need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The tragedy is, we have parents who are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, or they act like they are filled only on Sundays, and then the rest of the week they don't act like they are filled. Excuse me. So children will not know to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to pray and ask God to crucify their flesh afresh and anew every morning, and to fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit of God to love right, live right, think right, and do right. Can somebody who knows the truth say amen? Oh yes, husbands and wives, parents and children, everybody has to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to do right and to fulfill our roles in the family. And the way that you continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God is connected, I believe, to what God constantly told us in the New Testament, to pray without ceasing, to pray always. Jesus Christ gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray. Dr. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist of days gone by, somebody asked him why does he constantly ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He said, because I leak. I leak badly. We all leak, don't we? And so we constantly need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to be the husband, to be the wife, to be the parents, to be the children that God wants us to be, to obey the family verses. And just because your family has failed, it does not mean the Word of God does not work. Evidently, you didn't do what the Word of God has told you to do. To be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit, which happens as we walk daily in submission to the Holy Spirit of God. Pardon me, are you doing that? Are you walking daily in total submission to the Holy Spirit of God, to the Word of God, therefore? If you're not, you're not going to have a peaceful home. You're not going to have an orderly home. And you're not going to, you're definitely not going to have a productive home. Yes, I believe that families, like churches, like businesses, like other organizations, need to be productive. God, may God deliver us from these people who act like they don't realize God put them here to do something, to produce, man. Are you kidding me? You're just here to sit at Starbucks on your behind and drink coffee? No. You don't need to go to Starbucks if you're not going to work. Starbucks is the place to work, people, outside the home. Everybody knows that. That's what smart people do. I mean, they use Starbucks to fuel their bodies and to get that good internet service and get work done. I mean, you don't just sit in Starbucks just to sip coffee with both hands like this. No. You go to Starbucks to work, man. There are people who spend eight hours a day at Starbucks or a place like it. No. Everybody is to be productive. Every family ought to be productive. There are some things that families ought to stick together and do together. Stop thinking that everybody else's family is better than yours. That's not the case. It's not true. Your family is as good as you are, by the way. If your family is a bad family, you're part of it. You're the reason that your family is bad, because you're mean as hell. We say, my mother's mean as hell too. Well, that makes two of you. You got it from her. And you don't have to get it from her. There are some children who have bad parents that, in a sense, not legally, but in a sense, you need to divorce yourself from their bad behavior and say, no, I am not going to be that way. There are things you can learn. The benefit of parents, as I've said many times before, is that having parents is you can learn from them in a positive way. Thank God for those kinds of parents. But you can also learn from them in a negative way. Hey, you know what? I'm not going to do that. That didn't work in our family, so I'm not going to do that. My dad was so loving to a fault. He allowed my mother and all of us children to get away with murder. Not literally, but you understand the expression. And that's not good. That's too much love. Can somebody say amen? No. That's too much love when deep down in my, believe it or not, when I was a rebellious hellion who despised my dad because he was a preacher and all of that, lost it on my way to hell. Believe it or not, deep down in my soul as a child, I wanted him to rein me in, but he didn't do it. You know why? Because they were intimidated. They didn't know what to do. They had not been taught. They had not been trained. And so they practiced appeasement. And appeasement does not work, not only in the world with governments. It does not work with teenagers either. Do not appease your child. Deep down, that's not what they want. That's not what they need. They do want, deep down, by instincts, a parent who will put his or her foot down and say, no, you can't have the car. because you're full of hell and the devil, and I've told you what to do, and you won't do what I tell you to do, so you can't have the car for a month. How about that? You're going to sit your behind down, and you're going to do your schoolwork, and you're going to read your book. And you can mope. You can stick your tongue out, your lip out, and poke around and mope around all you want to. I'll make it 3 months. You will not have the car. You will not go on a date. and you can't play football. But Dad, I'm the quarterback of the football team, and we're in the middle of the season. I don't care about that, man. You won't obey me. There will be no football, no dates with your girlfriends, no car, unless you obey what I tell you up in this household. Now look deeply into my eyes to see if I'm playing. Some of you little Tinkerbells out there saying, oh, that's so harsh. That's so harsh. Well, where's your child at right now? That's light right there. That's not harsh at all. Back to the text. This assumes that a child has experienced genuine conversion, that a child has been born again. I'm afraid that many, sad to say, parents have never been born again. They're just in church. Excuse me. And therefore, many children have never been born again. They're just in church, churchgoers. And going to church and being truly born again are two different things. Back to the text, so that the Holy Spirit dwells in him. I can stay there a while to share with you some evidences of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. One thing I can just share with you, that your mind will be on God if you're born again and if you're saved. Not externally, meaning somebody helping you to put your mind on God. You will go to bed at night with God on your mind. You will get up in the morning with God on your mind, and throughout the day, you will have somebody on the inside of you reminding you, no, you ought not to do that. Yes, you should do that. No, you can't say that. Whereas before, you didn't mind cursing somebody out. It was okay to lust after women. By the way, have Christian men looked at pornography? Have Christian women? Excuse me. Have Christian women looked at pornography? Yes. But here's what I will tell you. If you're truly a born-again child of God, you can't keep doing that. Okay, that's the test right there. I'm not worried about people, Christian people, being addicted to pornography. If you're truly born again, you will not be addicted to pornography or anything else like that. Will you be tempted? Yes. Will you fail a few times? Yes. Some men who don't have attractive wives, they try to get things going by priming the pump, looking at pornography. It's wrong to do it, but some men do that. But after a while, by and by, if they are born-again Christian men, born-again Christian women, that's going to cease, because the Holy Spirit inside of you will stop you from doing that. The Holy Spirit, watch this, the Holy Spirit of God, you don't have to get rid of your computer, the Holy Spirit of God will tell you, no, don't do that. And if you fail, if you attempt it and you fail, you will confess it as sin and you will repent. That's if you're saved. And it's going to cause you great pain. Okay? So, are you a loving person? You love people? You love people who are not even in your family? Do you have a desire to tell folks in some way, shape, form, or fashion about Jesus? Then you're probably born again and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And there's a whole list of things that people have written about as the evidence of being truly born again. And the Holy Spirit is active in your life. One of those things, of course, if you sin, you're going to feel guilty. Whereas before you got saved, you would not feel guilty. I mean, in your mind, or in my mind, the slightest little transgression against God, just an evil thought, would drive you to your proverbial knees to confess it. So that's just an idea of knowing whether or not you feel with the Holy Spirit of God, or that you're born again, that you're saved. Every parent should pray, he says, for and seek to lead his children to genuine saving faith in Christ. And there should be some evidence of them being born again and saved. A child is saved when he realizes his own desperate need and seeing God's gracious gift through Jesus Christ. He trusts in Jesus Christ as his only hope of heaven. At that point, he receives the indwelling Holy Spirit, who begins the process of sanctification. I'm not suggesting that a child who is truly born again will always demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit, that he will always cheerfully obey his parents, and that he will always get along with his brothers and sisters. After all, he is immature, both developmentally and spiritually. But there will be a discernible change in the child's heart and in the child's spirit and attitude. Okay? They may not be bouncing off of the walls every day, but their spirit will be different. Can somebody say amen? Their attitude will be different. Oh yes, it will. He will feel bad about his sin. He will want to please Jesus. He will want to learn more about God's word and how to grow in Christ. Christian parents should explain to their children who have professed faith in Christ how to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God so that they grow in obedience to God and to their parents. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God in heaven, we thank you for being there. Lord, we thank you for being here. Thank you for being with us in the past. And we thank you, Lord, that you will be with us in the future. We praise you and we thank you for your love. And we pray that you have shed your love abroad in our hearts to others, starting with our family. As the old saints used to say, charity begins at home. What a striking statement in light of this world in which we live, where people think they can love everybody else and hate their own family. Have mercy and grace upon such foolish acting people, and forgive us all of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all who are saved in our families with the power of your Holy Spirit to practice love at home first, and then love others. But when the chips are down, people need to realize that other people are not going to receive them into their family when you, Lord, have provided them a family. to love and to help and to be a blessing to first. And so, Lord, we pray that you would save all children in every family, in every Christian family. Fill everybody in the family with the power of your Holy Spirit. Manifest the fruit of your Holy Spirit in and through our lives. And rebuke and bind our foe, the devil, his demons, and his hosts from every heart, soul, spirit, and mind in the family. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join with me now in reading our devotional passage from the Bible. Yes, we always read the family verses, and we read other verses in the Bible, sometimes whole books of the Bible in our devotions. My oldest daughter, Danny, just texted me and told me that she just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John back to back. And she's doing that on her own. And that's what I want to encourage all of you to do. Read whole books of the Bible in one sitting and let the Word of God saturate your mind, your soul, your spirit. Sin will keep you from the Word of God, or the Word of God will keep you from sin. Amen, somebody. Psalm 119:25-32. My soul cleaveth unto thee dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. There's no better way to get off of your face than to pray and to read God's word and ask God to move and to strengthen you to do what needs to be done. Verse 26, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. some of you people who can't stop lying, and you always gather around you a bunch of liars because you're a liar, pray and ask God to deliver you from the way of lying. By the way, nothing will destroy your marriage, nothing will destroy your family, nothing will destroy your other relationships like lying and living a lie and telling lies. If you are a liar, people will not trust you, and that's has got to be the worst feeling in the world, to not be trusted. Verse 29, remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Amen, somebody. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. If you stay with the Word of God, you will not be put to shame, by the way. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Regarding this passage, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Matthew Henry, author of the best devotional commentary ever written, even though he did not write it to be a devotional commentary, says, while the souls of the children of this world cleave to the earth as their portion, the children of light are greatly burdened because of the remains of carnal affections in their hearts. Now, it's very interesting that we're at this point in the scriptures, because just yesterday I had I went into Walmart to pick up something we needed for the car. I normally let my sons or my daughters go do these things, but I knew specifically what I wanted to get, and instead of trying to explain to them what I wanted, I went in there to look for it myself and get it. As I walked around the store, and I'm getting more and more like this as time goes on, I was just so taken with the worldliness that is all around us, the materialism that is all around us, and how unthankful we are as Americans, not only Christians, but Americans, about the abundance of things that God has blessed this country with, and to the point that it is just very disturbing to the truly born-again Christian mind to be around so much materialism, so much worldliness. The music was playing, and just a total secular, disturbing spirit of the world that troubled me greatly yesterday, in the sense that I, for the first time, I'm beginning to understand more and more that song, "I'm Homesick for Heaven." It makes you want to get away from it all. And just the futility of secularism and materialism and the worldly philosophies in the songs and so forth. I think as you grow old in the Lord, you begin to understand that song, "I Feel Homesick for Heaven," away from all of this foolishness. And that's what he's talking about here. It is, he continues, unmistakable comfort to a, it is an unmistakable, that's okay, an unspeakable comfort to a gracious soul to think with what tenderness all its complaints are received by a gracious God. We can talk of the wonders of redeeming love when we understand the way of God's precepts and walk in that way. The penitent melts in sorrow for sin. Even the patient spirit may melt in the sense of affliction. It is then its interest to pour out its soul before God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you are at that point where you're disturbed by the gross materialism, gross secularism, gross worldly, atheistic, agnostic philosophy of America, run to God, run to Jesus, run to the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God and be a witness for the Lord in this dying and lost world. Do what my baby daughter constantly reminds us to do in case we forget, and that is at least pass out gospel tracts and plant the seed of the gospel. Dr. Billy Graham and so many other preachers I know have stated the importance of passing out gospel literature, leaving gospel literature on a dining room table once you gave a good tip. Please do not order $30 worth of food and leave a dollar tip and slip it into the gospel tract. Don't do that. Don't shame the Lord in the church like that. One of the best ways you can get a hearing in a restaurant is to leave a generous tip with a gospel tract. She'll read that tract. Join me, ladies and gentlemen, as we pray and thank God for His word. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You for Your holy word in this unstable world. Your holy word is stable and serves as an anchor to weigh us down so that we won't be moving back and forth with all of the winds of false doctrine and craziness that is happening in the world. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your holy word. Help us to love it, to cherish it, to obey it, and to live by it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join with me now in praying for the estates, that is, ministers in the church, presidents and the government, people, the citizens, the press, the media, the old media and the new media, and journalists. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You would help us in the church to get on revival ground. We should cease praying for revival and get on revival ground by praying, seeking Your face, turning from our wicked ways and humbling ourselves and repenting of dead works and repeating the old works that we used to do when our hearts were pure in serving You. Holy Father God, we pray for all governmental leaders based upon Your holy word that says very clearly, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Lord, I thank You for my baby son who has been doing a bang-up job in a certain area of journalism, and I pray that You would encourage his heart and spirit to continue to do that while some are faltering, and because there's some things done this morning that were done this morning by him that has put us in good stead, and last night as well. And I pray that everybody would do their part, because it is a vital part of our ministry and outreach that connects us with the things that we're praying about right now. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for President Donald Trump, and we pray for his administration. We pray that You would give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings upon these governmental leaders. We pray for them as we prayed for all of the presidents since President Reagan in 1980. And we pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Senior Advisor Jared Kushner, all leaders of federal agencies, including Secretary of Transportation Elaine Sharwell, all state governors, including Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, all city mayors, including Irvine, California Mayor Donald P. Wagner, all members of Congress, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, all law enforcement officials, including Irvine, California Police Chief Mike Hummel, all military leaders, including Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis, General Robert B. Abrams, Commanding General of the U.S. Army Forces, leaders of nations around the world, including Israel's President Reuven Rivlin and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, as we pray for him every day. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel. And Holy Father God, now we pray for the third estate, the people and the citizens, who probably should be the first estate. And Lord, we pray for their salvation, and we pray for revival among those who are believers once they get on revival ground. Lord, have your holy gospel and your Holy Spirit to not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. And we pray, Lord, for the media, the old media and the new media. We pray that you would save those who are lost and encourage and strengthen those who are saved, and lead, guide, and direct them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We also pray now for current events happening around the world. Lord, even though we do not agree with this man, Stephen Hawking, what an amazing life. We don't agree with everything he said, particularly about you and about faith, about the afterlife, if he truly believes some of the things he said. Unfortunately, he is in hell. But Lord, we thank you for the life that you give to everybody and the chances that you give them, because he saw some things that should have convinced him that there is a God in heaven and that there's a Savior for a sin-cursed world. And I do pray, as I openly confronted him through our publications in the past, and encouraged him to trust you as Savior. Thank you, Lord, for leading me to do that. I had no idea he would be dying at the age of 76. But a remarkable life, and we glorify your holy name for the life you give to everybody. And we pray that millions will hear the gospel and come to know you as Savior, in spite of the wrong things he said. So, however, we also pray that you would save his children and comfort his family during this difficult time, even though many of us would classify him as an enemy to the cross. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 50 people killed in a plane crash in Bangladesh. We pray for the comfort of the families of two people killed in a strange bombing incident in Austin, Texas, and for the recovery of the two people seriously injured. What a tragedy that is. And Lord, we don't know what is happening with that, but you know. And we pray that the culprits would be caught. We pray for the comfort of the families of five people killed in a helicopter crash in Brooklyn, New York. Comfort those families. Comfort that pilot as well, because he is distraught, no doubt, by beyond measure. And Holy Father God, we now pray for prayer requests. We thank you for the privilege of praying for hundreds of people that have sent in their prayer requests to us, that you have entrusted us with, that they have entrusted us with. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection and provision, blessings upon all of those people, including all of the people, the hundreds who have gotten saved through the ministry and their families, the hundreds who have rededicated their life through the ministry, as well through the preaching of your holy word. And we pray for a few by name. We pray for Barbie. Please save her and guide her and help her to grow in you. We pray for Sheikah. Please provide them with 300 Bibles to replace the ones that were destroyed by the rain. Please bless them with a stronger church building and increase their faith in you. We pray for you, Mish. Please bless and prosper the Orissa Missionary Movement and Indigenous Church Planting Ministries. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. Help these to grow in the faith. We pray for Yaku, we pray for Sophia, and we pray for Sok. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. Help us to be the disciples of the disciples that you want us to be. And Lord, we pray for those who recommitted their lives to you through the preaching in this ministry. This is an invitation that we don't give, but Lord, people have heard the preaching of your holy word and wanted to come out of their backslidden state. Help these to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith and not go back into that state. We pray for Agul, we pray for Raul, and we pray for Sasei. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Beloved, our devotional reading today, Happiness by Dr. Billy Graham, starts with Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Can somebody say amen to the word of God? King George V wrote on the flyleaf of the Bible of a friend, "The secret of happiness is not to do what you like to do, but to learn to like what you have to do." My God, help us to take heed to that. Amen, somebody. For a whole lot of folk in my family and a whole lot of folk in your family, a whole lot of folk in the church need to hear that. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. Dr. Billy Graham quoted King George V, who wrote on the flyleaf of the Bible of a friend such wisdom as this. He said, "The secret of happiness is not to do what you like to do, but to learn to like what you have to do." That's beautiful. That's powerful, and that is true. Amen, somebody. Dr. Billy Graham went on to say, "Too many people think of happiness as some sort of will-o'-the-wisp thing that is discovered by constant and relentless searching. It is not found by seeking. It is not an end in itself. Pots of gold are never found at the end of the rainbow." Have you found one yet? "As we used to think when we were children. We ran after rainbows, tried to get to the end. We never got there. Gold is mined from the ground or panned laboriously from a mountain stream. Jesus once told his disciples, 'Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.' The things he spoke of were the things that make us feel happy and secure. Food, drink, clothes, shelter. He told us not to make these the chief goal of our lives, but to seek the kingdom, and these needs would be automatically supplied. Do I have a witness up in here? Do I have a witness up in here? Do I have a witness up in here? Amen, somebody. There, if we will take it, is the secret of happiness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these other things will be added unto you. My oldest daughter told me when she was a little girl that that was her life's verse. And I pray that it will remain her life's verse. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. Holy Father God, save those who are lost all around the world. But we thank you as Christians who are already saved for this powerful and meaningful devotional that we just heard. And we thank you for this time together. And we pray that millions would listen in as time goes on, live and on demand, so that they can start their day with you and live a victorious Christian life for your glory, your praise, and your honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. So, dear friend, if you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between to try to get it right. Your works cannot get you into heaven. Your good works will not outweigh your bad works, and if they do, they're still not going to get you into heaven. So first, you need to understand that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, and so have I, and so has Billy Graham, and so has the Pope. Billy Graham did not go to heaven because he preached thousands of times to millions of people. He went to heaven because he trusted Christ as Savior as a little boy. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed our God. God is perfect and holy, and we are not. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There's a punishment for sin. You know that there is. Even as a child, you got punished for sin. There are millions of folks in jails because they sinned against God and they sinned against society. Many have been killed because they sinned against God and they sinned against society. They were electrocuted or they were shot by the state and killed and buried. So we know, we understand this principle even in life, don't we? So help us, Lord, not to be shocked when you tell us that if you don't trust my Son as Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, you're going to pay for your sins in hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You get paid a paycheck every Friday or every other Friday. That's the wages for your work for those 2 weeks. Well, your sins are adding up, and you will be paid for those sins at the end of your life by going to hell, dying and going to hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. For the wages of sin is death. We die spiritually and go to hell. We die physically. Our body goes to the grave. Just yesterday, I saw a very disturbing picture of one of the famous actors of our time, Burt Reynolds. Maybe you've seen it. Women went crazy over his good looks for years. But I saw him walking through the airport. He was bent over on a cane, totally unrecognizable. He is dying. That's the result of sin for all of us. He's dying because of sin. You're dying because of sin. No matter how pretty you think you are, no matter how handsome you think you are, no matter how many nicks and tucks you pull on your body, you're going to die nicked and tucked because of sin. Understand that if you don't trust Jesus Christ as Savior, no one's trying to scare you. This is all about love. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. For Jesus Christ to preach more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ to preach more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. And sadly, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers preach today combined. He did it because he knew why he was dying on the cross. Your soul needed to be saved from hell. And right now, you're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. And Jesus Christ preached on hell by saying in just one verse, Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You've got to go to hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's your only way out. Now, hell is bad news, dear friend, but here is the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, here's the good news. Now, here's the loving part that you've been waiting for. For God so loved the world, that includes you. No matter how mean you are, no matter what you have done wrong, God so loved the world. If you're living in this world, he loves you, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. He will. If he will save me, he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you are believing right now in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, pray with me this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer to, if you will, seal the deal. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have sinned against you in your sight through stealing, through lying, through lust, through disrespecting my parents, and other sins before you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, who died for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. And a blessed life as a Christian. It will not be easy. You will not be perfect. But I assure you that it will be a better life than you've ever lived before. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving him as your Savior, and believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.